Good afternoon, brethren. We'd like to get ourselves seated so Brother Edgar can have his full hour to impart the blessings to us from his studies. And we'd like to open Brother Edgar's talk with hymn number 322. And at the close of the hymn, we've asked Brother Rolando Rodriguez to open this service with prayer. Hymn 322.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we do approach thy throne this afternoon, and thanking thee for this day of life, the opportunity of being able to gather together this day as a group of thy people, as we delve into thy word and to learn more about thy plans and purposes, and see where we are in this stream of time. And how thankful we are, dear Father, for these opportunities to gather with those of like precious faith, that we may be able to upbuild one another in these latter days. We now ask, Father, that your spirit be upon our dear brother Edgar, as he delves into thy word and opens it up to us, that we may pay strict and close attention to the things that he will discuss and bring out, seeing how we can apply them in our lives and perhaps to share with others that we come in contact the wonderful truths that we're learning. So, Father, we leave this day in thy care and keeping, and these things we do ask and pray for through the one who made it all possible, our elder brother, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Well, friends, Brother Edgar has chosen for his topic this afternoon, for our blessing and pleasure, Hidden Christ. Brother Edgar? Good afternoon. Very precious, great blessing to be with you. Bring the Christian love and greetings of the beloved Jackson friends. And also, I would like to bring the love of my brother-in-law, Wally. Since I've been with you the last time, I have lost my beloved sister. I lived with her for 77 years. And lo and behold, the Lord said it is enough. Having lost her, I feel that much closer to that which is the effort to make one calling an election sure. Like I said, she was with me for 77 years. We were very close. And now I understand that one of they who were on the program was scheduled to talk on Saturday from 8:45 to 9:45, our beloved Eugene Byrne. I did not know about his death until I was told about it after his burial. I look back on my times with beloved Eugene, and it goes back August 1952, I and my wife and my little boy was at the Dawn. That's where I met Gene. That's where I met Ken. I was very impressed by the two of them. Ken, very serious. and Eugene, who had a laugh that I loved. It was kind of a laugh that when you hear that laugh, and whatever it is that he's bringing out, and he gives us that laugh. Ah, what that is. It's a realization that he has something, a truth, to put across. And in putting out the laugh, and once laughing, and then what it is he pointed out is a truth that's worth noting. I look back upon the beloved brethren that I've known since I came into the truth. 52 years. Very precious brethren, very blessed brethren. Brethren to make a difference. I look back upon Gene, what he meant to me and what he meant to so many. Yes, we learn to lean upon him. But the Lord said it is enough. But we still have Ken with us. We rejoice that we do. And as they leave one by one, what we like to do is remember the legacy they left behind. Ah, they're all part of our lives. They're all, each one of them, in one way or another, have made a difference. And certainly I acknowledge that and look back and thank the Lord for dear and beloved Eugene. We are that much closer to the kingdom. We are that much closer to that which we are running for, that prize of a high calling. And therefore, it is that we try to redouble our efforts to follow after our beloved Master. And as we go along, the one thing that we try so much to understand is the realization that we are dead. Colossians 3rd chapter in the 3rd verse, the Apostle Paul puts it very plainly and simply, ye are dead. And then he adds, your life is hid in Christ, in God. You're dead. You're no longer part of the world. Your life is hid in Christ. So we go back and we note in this 3rd chapter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd verses, what the apostle has to say. And we realize just how dead we ought to be. Let's turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Read those first 3 verses. If ye then be ridden with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things from above. Set your affections on things above, not on the things in the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life, since we have given all to Christ, we are now no longer counted as human beings, but an embryo, the mind of Christ, and it is that which we have, following the Master, no longer of the world.
So the Apostle Paul, in putting it here, bringing forth the fact that it means that we must set our affections on things above, on heavenly things, not earthly things. I don't know if you ever heard the expression, "You are so heavenly minded, you're no earthly use." I don't know if you've ever thought about that or ever heard the expression. But stop and think about the matter for a moment. Stop and think at times when some people wonder, well, where is your mind? What are you thinking of? Ah, your mind is set on things above. That word affection that you find in the King James Version, if you will note it, we find that it is the same word for set and affection. The word phineo. And what it means is to exercise a regard or savor, that is, smell it, if you will. Feel it within you. It's a concern. What you think of, your mind, your will, your desire, what you seek, what you want. Ah, where is your affection? You're dead. Therefore, your affection, you being hid in Christ, set your things on things above. That's our desire. That's what we're trying to do. That's the effort that we're trying to make. And each one of us along the way, as far as we have gone, even at this moment, to be able to look and see how far we've progressed, what has been our problems, what is it that we need more to be able to do to set our affections on things above. Something is found in the convention report. Brother Russell wrote, "Keep setting your affections," that is the affections on things above, "and if they slip off 1,000 times a day, set them back 1,000 times. By and by they will begin to stick, and that to the heavenly things, those things from above." During the day, there are many things that come up, many things we have to spend our time thinking about that have nothing to do with heavenly things. And therefore, being able to learn as we go through life that whatever we do and say, whatever it is that may confront us, approaching it from the standpoint we are hid in Christ. That's the thing that we're trying to do by the Lord's grace. But it's not an easy thing. We found that out daily. But yet with all that, the effort that we make, I found something I thought was very good along this line. And I would like to put it in conjunction with Ephesians 2:18 through 22. Ephesians, the second chapter, from 18 to 22. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now we look at that and we consider the matter, fellow citizens with the saints, and ask ourselves the question, what does that mean? Well, what is a citizen? Whether we realize it or not, when we're born, we are citizens as human beings. All part of the human race. That's our citizenship. And there are many things that we have to learn as humans. There are many things that we do not realize and we find very difficult to learn. And that's why you've got all the problems you've got today, is for that very fact. That the race of mankind are citizens, everyone as and from one blood. But here we are reading what Paul is telling us, that we are fellow citizens with the saints, which means that there were things that we had to do that we might become so. Necessity, believing as Christ is our personal Savior, the necessity of going before the Heavenly Father in the name of our Lord Jesus and give Him all we have to Him, that we might follow Christ. That, and that alone, makes us fellow citizens with the saints. The only way it could happen. There's no other way that it is possible. So what we're finding is that a transformed or transported, whatever word we want to use, from human citizens to fellow citizens with the saints. As human beings, as part of the human race, there are certain things that are self-evident. Here they are, this is it, and this is the way it is. When you're born, you receive a body. You may not like it, you might hate it, but it's yours for the period of time that you're here. That's it. And we have those who are not satisfied with their looks as far as their hair is concerned, or their nose is concerned, or whatever. Whatever it is, as human beings, this is you. And of course, there's those that feel for one reason or another that they need to have some changes made cosmetically. But what God has given you as an earthly being, that's what you have, and that's what you're going to have as long as you live. Now, by the Lord's grace, we having given all to follow Christ, that we might be with Him, like Him, see Him as He is, find ourselves with a promise that this earthly body would be changed unto His glorious body. That's what we have in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse, where we're told very plainly by the Apostle Paul that that change would be made if we make our calling and the election sure. Again, Philippians, the third chapter, in the 21st verse. Let's take a quick look at that. We shall change our vile body, or who shall change our vile body, that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That he's able to do this, that we may have a body like unto our Lord. That's more than we can imagine. That's more than we can have any conception of. And I think we find ourselves at night at times in thinking about that. And of course we have no way of picturing in our mind exactly what that means. But the fact that we are dead and our life is hid is the beginning, that is, the mind of Christ, that which will be given a glorious body like unto his. Now, as citizens of this world, we will learn lessons. We find ourselves enrolled in a full-time informal school called life. Each day in this school, we have the opportunity to learn lessons. We might like the lessons, or we might think they're irrelevant or stupid or not necessary, but they are lessons that are to be learned. And whether we learn them or not, those lessons are there for a purpose. As one asks oneself, why am I here? What is expected of me? Ah, yes, the parents that we have, they have that responsibility of bringing us up and teaching us the lessons of life. This was God's intention. And lo and behold, what we find is that generation after generation after generation, failing to do this, for the most part, brings it to the fact that after the fifth generation, they must start over again, because if it wasn't for that, then man would just die out. There are lessons to be learned. So we find in ourselves we're enrolled in the school of Christ. And we've had the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15, which was already brought out earlier in the day, that we are in the school of Christ, study to show ourselves approved, a workman needing not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth. And it has been brought out exactly what those things are we're to learn. And as citizens of this world, we find there are mistakes. And yet at the same time, there's a purpose for those mistakes. The purpose is to learn lessons by mistakes. In a way, you could say there is no such thing as mistakes, because what is done is done. But it being something that is wrong, the lesson being learned, the effort to no longer make that mistake. But this is what fallen humankind, citizens of this world, are going through. But we as citizens, fellow citizens with the saints, we look at the scripture in 2 Peter, the third chapter, in the 18th verse. This is a scripture that does a very good job of pointing out our efforts spite of the fact that we at times find ourselves failing to learn the lessons. So let's look at 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 18th verse. We're told to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. The grace, the knowledge that we're to grow in, is the understanding of the divine plan of our part in that. And what it is that we must do to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus. Now we find a set of citizens of this world that a lesson is repeated until it's learned. Sometimes, some never learn the lessons that are necessary at this time. Pointed out, the lesson will be presented to you in various forms until you've learned it. When you've learned it, you can go on to the next lesson. But what we found is that some people have never learned the lesson. As citizens of this world. And the provision has been made that, they will be citizens of the world of tomorrow. And they will have the chance to learn the lessons they fail to learn now. But we, as fellow citizens with the saints, are learning the lessons that are being taught by Christ and by our Heavenly Father as our guides. And I always like that. I believe the Dawn at one time had the, it's just a little something that goes like this. I will take my turn at the wheel and grind out the golden grain over and over and over again. And it is that continual repetition over and over and over again in learning the lessons as followers of Jesus. And again, in the matter of our affections, in trying to set them on things above. And as Brother Russell has pointed out, it might fall 1,000 times, but you keep setting it up there again. It's that over and over and over again. But then the learning the lessons does not end. There is no end to this. There is no part of life that does not contain lessons. If you're alive, there are lessons to be learned. And that is the citizens of this world. But as fellow citizens with the saints, let's turn to Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 11th and 12th verses. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content." Whatever it is, to be content with it. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." The follower of the Master, and as the beloved Apostle Paul, who said, "Be followers of me as I am follower of Christ," learning to be abased and abound, whatever it is, whether we are in want or whether we have plenty. But those lessons are the lessons that we are making every effort to learn. Then another thing we find as far as mankind is concerned, that is the fallen man, citizens of this world, they are not content where they are, and therefore they are looking to the other side of the fence because the grass looks greener over there. Where they are, that's not where they want to be. They want to be somewhere else. When they're there, they want to be back where they were or whatever. The matter of being not content with their lot. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse. We're told that godliness with contentment is great gain. The need to be content with such things that we have, and also to live a godly life as best we can, the two together, whatever the Lord may see to bring upon us, that is what fellow citizens are learning. So, what we have as far as the world, the citizens of the world, if this is concerned, what you make of your life is up to you. You have all the tools, resources you need. What you do with them is your choice. The citizens of this world have choices. They have decisions they have to make. They have responsibilities. They have to make up their mind. And whatever they do, whatever their choices are, there's results. They may be good, they may be bad. The citizens of this world find that there are consequences to their choices and their decisions, and the results can be very devastating or very good. But we as citizens, that is, fellow citizens with the saints, where we find is for the world of mankind is concerned, the tools and the resources they have that are there that they need, but they may not use them. A lot of it has to do with the fact that being born in Adam and as a result, fallen human thinking is what they brought them to the point where they are today and where we have this matter of this whole world is on fire. But we as fellow citizens with the saints, we have our lessons to learn. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, in the 12th verse, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, what we do, how we act, what we say, what we learn, what we gain from the Scriptures and put into practice, that is our salvation. To make a calling and election sure, it's all a matter of what we do and what we say and how we act. In imitating, in emulating our Master as best we can. Think about it. Think about it. You are a fellow citizen with the saints. We cannot appreciate that enough. We find ourselves in this world and having to carry on as best we can, rub elbows with the world and the worldly ideals, the early ways, and yet at the same time having our affections heavenward. So therefore, the Lord has promised us, as we find in 1 Peter 5:7, that we cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And claim that promise no matter what. No matter what may come upon us. Remember that. So what are the cares of this world anyway? What are the things that try us? We may have losses, we may have disappointments, we may have delays, restraints, shelvings, responsibilities, faults, lacks, weaknesses, failures, differences, hardships, divisions, siftings, necessities, oppositions, sickness, weariness, pain, sorrow, oppression, persecution. You recognize any of them? Have you gone anything through anything like that? I think we all have at one time or another. Those are the cares of this life. Those are the things whereby the promise is. Cast them upon Him because He cares for you. Set your things on the things above. That is, dear Lord, having given all, whatever it shall be, I cast it upon You because I know You can handle it. We've had some beautiful scriptures already brought out. Revelation 3:21, to Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I have overcome, and sat down under the Father in His throne. Think about that. Think about that. Think about beloved Eugene. Think about the fact. There's a promise. And the Lord said it is enough. First John 5:4, which we've already had. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Ephesians 3:2, 2 chapter, the 2 and 3 verses. We've had that one also, where it's spelled out the things that we fight are the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're all right there in the scripture. We contend with this every day, especially the flesh. The flesh that is so hard to overcome. But again, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do it as unto the Lord. And again in Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word and do, do all to the glory of God. It's all right there. So we're dead in Christ. We're dead and hid in Christ. So it comes down to the fact that every hour of every second of every day, what do we do? What is it that motivates us? What is it that keeps us keeping on? We have so much time. And lo and behold, as to what to do with that. I love that illustration in the reprint. Some have heard it, some have not. But I think it is a good one to point out. In which it takes the box. A box so big, and you fill that full of soccer balls. And here you got that box and it's full of soccer balls. But the question arises, is it full? Well, yes, it's full of soccer balls. Now you take some marbles, You put those marbles and sift them down into that box. And now you've got a box full of soccer balls and marbles. But again, is it full? No, it's not full, because you can take steel shot. And you just let that settle down in that box. And now you've got a box that's full of soccer balls and marbles and steel shot. So, again, the question, is it full? Yes, it's full of the three. But then you can take sand and sift that in that box all the way down through, and now you have a box full of soccer balls and marbles and steel shot and sand. Ah, is it full? Well, yes, it's full of all four items. But then you take some water and you pour that water in that box, and that water will seep down through there. And now you got a full box. So what's the illustration? Here you are. You must work. You must eat. You must sleep. You must take care of your family. You must take care of your hygiene. All those things you must do as a human being. So the box is full. But when you put that water in that box, you are putting in the water of life. Your life. And whatever it is, you, whatever I have to do, it is to be actuated, motivated by the word of life. There's a difference. Yes, that is our life. Well, we have many, many, many things to learn. And in our efforts to learn them, in our efforts to not only gain the victory over the world and the devil, our hardest is a victory over self. I have something I found when I was up in Winnipeg and stayed with the beloved Boy Chucks, and rejoicing, dear Frank is here, and Ann, that is a very precious thing. They had something on the wall called Gaining Victory Over Self. I like to bring it to you because I think it points it out so well what it takes to gain victory over ourselves. Said when you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good works or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is victory over self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that's victory over self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is victory over self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is victory over self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself, and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is victory over self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is victory over self. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is victory over self. That's beautiful. That's what we're trying as best we can to reach the point where we have overcome self. Only in the Lord. Our energy, our influence, our time, and what we do with that, I confess as I look back, I'm ashamed of myself, of the times indeed that I've let slip by and my failure to serve the Lord even more than I have. To realize what the Scriptures tell us, what He'll have us to do, I'd like to take the word, three letters, P-U-T, put. Oh, consider set. Or affection, or now we consider put. I won't have time to go through these scriptures, but just to point out what put means. That's what we are trying to do. Here's what I want to point out. Put in as much time as possible in study. Put out the truth, the gospel, the good news. Put down every desire to render evil for evil, and that's 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Put up with all manner of evil. That's 1 Peter 4:15 and 16. Put off the old man with his deeds. Ephesians 3rd chapter, 8th and 9th verses. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 11, 13 and 18. Put away bitterness and wrath and anger. Ephesians 4, 31. Put aside every weight and the besetting sin which does so easily beset us. That's Hebrews 12:1. Put in, put out, put down, put up, put off, put on, put away, put aside, Ah, set and put. Another word. This is what we've got. We come down to the matter of hidden Christ. That's the word think. What are we thinking about? What is going through our minds? What is it that we spend our time going over and over and over again? Brother Larry Davis, he had a talk. The name of it was, Do You Talk to Yourself? And lo and behold, he had scriptures. Yes, we talk to ourselves. It may not be audibly, but in our thinking, what's going through our mind? What scriptures that are doing the job to help us to do what our Heavenly Father would have us to do? Is that talking to ourselves, thinking of those things which are from above? I remember our beloved brother Sonnenbaum, beloved and precious. He set out to memorize 5,000 scriptures. 5,000. No question why. He said, the Lord would have me to do that. Because these are those scriptures which are the Lord's. Here they are. I don't know whether how many he memorized. I have no idea. But it's just that ability to remember any scriptures that we can call up in any time for the specific purpose of witnessing or just living, just carrying on, just being, doing those things which those scriptures point out. Think. Well, I'm sure you all know what I have in mind. Philippians, the 4th chapter, 4 through 8. Again, a precious scripture, a beautiful scripture, a scripture that we sure will keep in mind and try to emulate as best we can. Philippians 4. Oh, let's start with... We'll start with the 8th verse. That actually is specifically what I have in mind. But I'd like to go through more of that than that, but the time will not permit it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, so if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, certainly by the Lord's grace here at convention, it's what we're doing. When we leave here, we would like to think that we have that much more in our minds to think about. Yes, part of that. Fellow citizens with the saints. Being dead and yet hid with Christ in God. We know not. Another convention. We'll be missing another. Our Heavenly Father said it is enough. And our beloved Lord Jesus, the Lord of the harvest. And who of the dear ones we're with right now, and whom we can talk to and rejoice with and walk with and talk with, that may not be here the next time. Let us rejoice. Let us talk with one another, rejoice with one another, speak with one another while we can, while it is called today. Yes, we're hid with Christ. Yes, we're making every effort to set our affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. And only by the Lord's grace are we able to do these things. Though we do rejoice, we do give thanks. Our Lord has been so kind to us.
Thank you, Brother Edgar. We appreciate the precious thoughts brought out concerning being hid in Christ. What a blessing it is to know our dear Lord, and what a promise is left for us in these verses that Brother Edgar brought out for us. If we're hid with Christ, if we spend our time thinking about our Lord and serving Him, verse 4 brings out, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him in glory. So what a illuminating thought to have run through our minds. What opportunity has been left to us. We appreciate those thoughts, Brother Edgar, and we'd like to close this service with hymn number 117. And at the close of the hymn, we'll close with prayer and reconvene at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock for the next discourse. And we do want to bring the love of Brother Ron and Sister Barb Chastain. They wanted their love brought here to the convention. 117.
Our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy, precious name. Our loving, merciful Heavenly Father, even thou who inhabitest eternity, whose name alone is Jehovah, we bow before thee, rejoicing, thanking thee, that by thy grace we have the privilege, the opportunity to follow in our beloved Lord Jesus' footsteps, that indeed we are hid in Christ, in thee. We thank thee for those things that thou hast given us, far more than we could think, could ask, or imagine. We rejoice the more and give our thanks and ask thou would continue to be with us through convention, as indeed we trust the more that what we say and do and how we act might redound to thy glory. We give thanks continually, precious name, our beloved and precious Lord Jesus, even in Him. Amen.